Yeah, have you ever been to like those Astros games? And like once a game, they'll always like in the middle of an inning, they'll be like, "And now welcoming home," and like they'll have a few of them, and I always hate it because like the first guy, it's like, "Army sergeant, been in the army for 15 years, did 3 tours of Afghanistan, and now second up, we have a Navy SEAL who has committed 25 years." And then we have a 4-year Coast Guard. Now I'll give a round of applause for the first two.
I'll say this about the Coast Guard. So,
all right, here's my little. I wanted to join the Coast Guard at first.
You know, there were. So I'll say this. I also thought the Coast Guard would be really cool because they had a group that was known as God, what was it called? It was like CSST or something like that. It was a 4-letter acronym, and basically it was like a CBRN, but like shipboarding anti-terrorism group that the Coast Guard had, right? I was like, that's super fucking cool. I want to be a part of that. And then they disbanded it.
I want to shoot Somalians.
The NCO gear or the NPC gear, and they're like on top of the submarine. And they're
well, not just that. Well, that was just regular Coast Guard boarding. There was a video that was surfaced a while back, which was a training that they did, and they were like gas masked up, and they would be doing the drug raids, and they're part of that too, but they're not in that group anymore. They're just kind of, this is the weird thing about the Coast Guard, they're super fucking disorganized, right? So they had this group that was like their special forces, and they disbanded that group because they didn't see a need for it. So now they just kind of have like people who do things. Like they just have like, oh, these are our guys who know how to do this stuff, so they'll kind of, we put them in this little group of guys, so they're just gonna go out there. But it's kind of like not really a lot of information on that.
Yo, being in the Coast Guard is the equivalent of being fucking Aquaman. Like, well, you don't do anything unless like some extremely rare cases occur.
I would have more faith in the Coast Guard if it doesn't. It's like a self cycle of reputation. This is the thing, right? So same thing with the Marines, in fact, for this, because Marines have the reputation of being dumb, right? And so it's a self-fulfilling cycle of dumb people joining the Marines thinking that they need to be, like, if they're going to join a branch, join the Marines.
Ethan reacting to the dick photo.
But as for the Coast Guard, the people who join it are people who don't want to try because they hear it, join the Coast Guard, it's easy.
Yeah.
And then it's basically, we basically have a worthless branch now. But you want to talk about worthless. Have y'all seen Space Force's training video?
Oh, my God.
They had a pull-up bar that they were supposed to hop over, and it was, like, this high, and one person couldn't do it, and, like, the drill sergeants were, like, laughing, and having, like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that?
We're supposed to send people with AKs into space. All right, can't even do 5 jumping jacks.
I would like to remind all the podcast listeners what the purpose of the military is. It is not to be inclusive. It is not to be fun. The purpose of our military members is to kill people.
Is there crime in space?
No. It's just like the
legally,
ocean.
There cannot be crime in space.
Yeah, no, legally.
If I come up into space, murder somebody, as long as I stay in space, like, they can't do anything.
It's not like they can get to you.
Intergalactic waters.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yo, imagine being a space cop.
You know, there's a. I think NATO has the rule. Yo. I forget who has. I think it's NATO who made it where like no weapons are allowed in space.
Yeah.
That's a whole crazy. I can go down and open a can of worms on that shit. It's freaking awesome.
Can you shoot somebody
do it.
In space?
Huh?
Can you shoot somebody in space?
Yeah.
I mean,
like how fast?
They took a gun up there one time.
But it's not as if like okay. So here's the thing, it's kind of iffy on the way it works because one, there's no oxygen in space, so it's kind of like how would the flame?
Yeah, there's no ignition. But if it's
self-propelled, it might. But since there's no gravity, there can't be any acceleration, like past like whatever it's going, and it's not going to get any faster or slower. So like the muzzle velocity is going to be what the initial like explosion was.
It looked like a big silencer when they took it into space. It was a handgun.
Well, they have.
Someone needs to bring.
Like, Call of Duty Ghost was a lie. Call of Duty Ghost was a lie.
Yeah.
Because it's like underwater, because you wouldn't be able to really accurately shoot in space.
Yeah.
Because, if you could, it would be easy, because everyone's like floating around really slow. But, I mean, if you're in the space station, it's different, but still.
Is it going like suit, or do you have like time to like dodge the bullets?
That's the thing. I would think so.
Matrix, yo.
I would think so. You would think so because of how people move in space like water. But the thing is, water has surface tension throughout the entirety of it. That's why, like, when you're trying to run through water, that's why it's hard. Not because, like, there's low gravity in water. It's because there's a bunch of surface tension holding you. That's what simulates the low gravity, is the water pushing you up off the ground and pushing you down at the same time, making you float weird.
See, that could be completely wrong, but I have no idea.
So like, every molecule of water when you step into a pool is, like, a separate object. Like, you're, like, GMod collision physics when you walk in water. It's like, all over you and pushing you in all different directions. That's why walking through water and stuff is, like, weird and, like, sludgy. Because you're being, like, hugged by the water and moved by it at all times. So, like, when you jump into water, like, you see people, they jump out of, like, a really tall building and land in, like, the high dive, right? They get in there and they jump down. They don't die because the water's, like, cushioning them up. But it's also, like, allowing them to go in at the same time. Like, you know, if you get, a football and you put it underneath the thing, it's going to, like, fly back up out of the water. Like, if you hold a foam football and you pull it under the water really fast and let go, it's going to plunk, right? That's because the surface. So, like, if you. Ba-dunk, ba-dunk, all right. But, yeah, it's because of the surface tension. Space doesn't have surface tension. It just doesn't have any. It's empty. It's a void. It's a vacuum. So, it's like, I'm not really sure how that would react in space. Because my initial thing was, oh, it's going to move slow, like in water. Yeah. But there's no reason it wouldn't. Because in space, every object in space. This is really cool, by the way. So, if you were to throw a baseball, like, out of the International Space Station, like, out of a window. It's going to go that way forever, in that speed, in that direction. And literally, unless it gets absorbed by something else like that has gravity, it will go there for literally ever, like forever. Because in space, there is no change in, like, physics. Like, there's no change in
momentum. It wouldn't, like, deteriorate because of the temperature?
No, like, well, if let's say this. I get, like, an iron ball, like a shot put. If I have a shot put in my hand in space and I just chuck it, it's going to go in that exact direction, that degree of the angle forever until it gets affected by an outside force.
Yeah, you know it.
Really?
Yeah.
Those people who do spacewalks are, like, insane.
Well, that's...
Like, you realize, like, if your tether breaks and someone, like, shoves you lightly, you're gone forever. Like,
well, that's exactly the thing. You would literally never be found again because you're still going to be going in that direction forever.
Wow.
That's why getting shot up into space was really scary, because, like, once you're out there, if there's no way to control where you go, you'll just keep going.
So what are the chances that you run into a foreign object?
In space? I mean, if you're in our atmosphere high, when you're in the atmosphere of a planet because it's drawing stuff in, right?
Right.
It's like there's stuff, like, that's what there's, you know, you ever seen gravity, where the, because they have to do all this math, right? They track every piece of space debris in the atmosphere. There's a lot, but they track it all because they put it there. And so whenever they have the International Space Station, they have it in such a place where it doesn't get hit by anything. And the computers auto-move it, like, very slightly to avoid stuff all the time. But in gravity, that computer gets messed up and they get hit by all the space debris. And the thing explodes and all bad stuff happens in the movie. That doesn't happen because they're programming it, but there's a lot of shit up there. Like, if you were... Like, the odds of... Remember that guy with Red Bull who jumped out of it at space?
Yeah.
The thing is, there's a lot of it, but space is fucking big, and our atmosphere is big. So the odds of a small human hitting something are low, but not zero. They're like, I would say maybe like 20% of you getting smacked by something. But because if it's a really big object, it'll...
I would say 20% is low.
Well, that's the thing. I would say it's pretty, like, relatively low. Or maybe like 15. I'll give it that. Because... The things that are up there are pretty small.
Someone told me 15% chance you're dying. I'm not saying
that. Well, I mean, the chance of him dying was much higher because he was jumping out from space.
He was handling all sorts of G-force.
Oh, yeah. And, well,
even 5%, I'd question.
The thing is right, at that, well, actually, he would have been fine. His chance would have been zero because the level that he wasn't actually in space.
He wasn't in space. He
was at the highest atmospheric level you could be at without being in space. So he would have been fine regardless.
He was in a halo suit.
Yeah, because if he was...
Dude's retarded, by the way.
If he was above where he was then he could have gotten hit by stuff. But the stuff that's in space is very small. That's the thing. The things you have to worry about in space aren't, like, getting hit by, like, rocket debris, like a big old chunk of metal. It's like a nut or a screw. Because that's the stuff that's... You know what the rotational speed of the Earth is? It's like 1,900 miles an hour. Like, right now, we're spinning at, like, 1,900 miles an hour.
So weird.
Per second. It's something fucking ridiculous. Like... Not like miles per second, something like this is why they were trying to with planes or not planes, but like travel to make it quicker. And this is the same technology for intercontinental ballistic missiles. ICBMs is that they shoot it into space and they travel. They don't need to shoot it anywhere because they'll just have it wait in space. The Earth will turn, then it goes back down.
Yeah, 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah. I remember being 1,000 something. So, but yeah, basically the way one of those ballistic missiles work is they shoot it into the higher atmosphere and they start heading, like the way the Earth turns, right? It's from, you know, the sun sets, it turns, if you were looking at a map, it turns to the right. Or, yeah, it turns to the right if you're looking at, like, a U.S. map. If North Korea wanted to launch a missile at us, all they would need to do is shoot it into the air and wait, like, if they wanted to, 12 hours, and then it would just come back down on us. But if they wanted to make it really quick, they would shoot it up in the air and have it travel really, really fast that way against the turn of the Earth. So that way they both meet up in, like, 3 hours. So, like, if North Korea wanted to, they could kill us in, like, 3 hours.
But yeah, people are like, oh, you know, North Korea, they can't do shit against us.
Well,
I was like, bro, we lost a war to farmers and people like in Vietnam.
Well,
I can see Harry's face. He has an opinion on this.
Well,
we were allowed to win.
We didn't really lose that war.
Can you say we definitively won?
No,
but okay.
See, we lost our people. Technically, we didn't lose anything.
I will say this: we saved.
But we lost a lot of people.
We killed commies. We saved some lives.
Saved some lives.
So at the end of the day, it's. I would say it's even. I would say Vietnam was an even loss.
Okay, yeah,
no, but
net loss.
In terms of the power of strength, though, that's a loss. The fact that it was even.
Well, I would say because they had the home.
They had the advantage.
They had home turf advantage.
They had all their.
That would be like me fighting a 4-year-old, and then like calling it a draw. Like, no,
well, they had more people. They had more people.
They had more people. They had more equipment.
And they knew the environment. That's like going into a daycare. That's okay. That's like going to a ball pit with a bunch of armed toddlers with switchblades, and then losing and being like, "That's what?" Like, yeah, it's kind of understandable.
Okay, same thing. I'm in a ball.
Doesn't matter if you have a sledgehammer and they have like little pocket knives. They'll still. No, they're just in the fucking bush.
The better example would be if I was in a ball pit with a bunch of kids with switchblades, but I have an AK-47.
Well, so do they. That was the thing. Like,
I mean, if we wanted to, Bevan, if we wanted to, we could have napalmed all of Vietnam and destroyed the entire North Vietnamese everything.
100%.
I mean, that's what the South Korean army was doing. So the South Korean army helped us out during the war. My grandfather's told me this story because he was in the Navy.
I don't get like why people are upset we used an atomic bomb.
No one's upset.
The only people who are upset with it are those who have guilt about being Americans.
No, I've heard
it's fucking stupid.
It was unnecessary.
Let me put it this way. You should be glad because we made you have anime from the radiation.
Yeah, anime.
We nuked the shit out of you and you became a much better country.
We turned them into, like, we created Hello Kitty from the
man,
atomic bomb.
Y'all said no and we dropped the sun on you twice. That's what happens.
Anime's proof that two bombs wasn't enough.
America goes home and fucks the prom queen, all right? You wanna fuck around and find out? We'll drop the sun on you.
We were trolls about it, too. We didn't just drop a bomb named, like, 14307. We're like, nah, this is little boy and fat kid. We're dropping
fat man and little boy, yeah. So
I have uranium. I have a neutron. Oh, Japan is gone.
And you know what the saddest part is? Like, I feel for the Japanese people when I see documentaries of them going around to the, like, sites in Nagasaki, and they see, like, the shadows of people who are vaporized, and I'm like, damn, that does suck, because a lot of those people were civilians.
Now, I'm going to hook this into 9/11, and this is...
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I wrote papers on all this shit. Go ahead.
Now, people say, oh, what they did at 9/11 was horrible, and a war crime. And I was like,
careful.
What? Well, what we did to Japan was...
That wasn't a religious crusade in Japan.
Hundreds of thousands of civilians.
I will say this, though. Do you know what the Japanese...
they were going to kill us.
But, Bevan, do you know what the Japanese were doing to the Chinese people?
And the Koreans.
And the Koreans.
And the
Let me tell you, want to know about war crimes, look into the Indo-Japanese wars and look at all the shit they've done.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, right? The one thing about the Japanese people at that time, there's a difference in culture between then and now. Like, now, they're actually, like, some of the nicest people in the world, I would say. Like, they're the nicest, most ingenuitive. They're the engineering capital of the world,
it's
for Christ's sake.
It's sad because they're a dying breed.
They're a great country.
Their population's, like,
I know. And the thing is, they're a great country. And by God, Asian women are beautiful. But they're a great people. They're very proud and everything like that. But back then, that nationalism, that heavy nationalism during the war.
And militarism. By the way, militarism.
Need to point out, I'm not saying that 9/11 was acceptable.
Like, are you saying 9/11 was a net loss for the American people?
You know.
But I'm also not saying it was a complete and utter shocker that they killed civilians, but.
Well, the thing is, it came out of nowhere. At that time, we weren't doing anything. Well, we were over there occasionally.
It was like
in the 90s, we were occasionally doing stuff, but we had we had everything with Iraq and
they honestly
Saddam Hussein.
They honestly hated us for the oil embargo bullshit.
Well, they hated us for being in their area. Like that's the thing. A lot of conflict starts by people being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
How do you feel about
also, we're white and Christian. You know,
how do you feel about us getting out of Afghanistan?
Spicy.
This is a recent topic, so
I like these topics. I'm a huge. Look, in case you don't know me, I'm a huge military buff. So these are all very good.
The thing that really pisses me off that people say is we shouldn't be playing God in Afghanistan. Do you remember 9/11? Do you want that to happen again?
They hit the Pentagon! They hit the Pentagon! Oh God!
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was awful.
Man.
Yeah,
it's all a money thing. The Democratic Senate pulled out because they didn't want to pay for anything, and it bit them in the ass, obviously. And
well, I personally think once we got Osama bin Laden, we should have left.
No.
Like, let me tell you why. I can explain all of this.
Because Osama bin Laden is just one dude. Yeah, he's a major public figure and an inspiration to literally every terrorist group. Like, but we still have Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and now this Taliban crap. Which isn't that big as ISIS, because ISIS is just everywhere.
Well, Taliban is, so I can, let me tell you the history, because I wrote in history, I wrote a, like, end of year research paper over this exact, the Afghan and Russian-Afghan war and everything like that. So, this goes back to the 60s, Russian-Afghan war, Russia invades Afghanistan, right? Because everybody does that. China has invaded Afghanistan, we've invaded Afghanistan, and Russia did back in the 60s. So, back then, or like 70s.
Fucking
yeah, Afghanistan gets fucked more than, you know, fucking blonde bimbo ass by the football team. Every single fucking country in the world wants Afghanistan because why not, right?
And desert. Man, I love desert.
I swear these countries, like, we were there on humanitarian business. Russia just straight up wanted to fucking murder people, okay? But you play a mission like that in actually modern warfare.
What? Russia just wanted to kill people. I respect that.
I respect their grind set. Anyway.
Jesus Christ. Well,
look, but like, so.
Have you seen Russia, bro? Like, if I could have an ally, that's who I'd want, you know?
You're sounding very commie right now, Bevan. You're sounding very commie.
Very anti-Semitic.
I mean.
Jesus Christ.
So, right. Russia invades Afghanistan in the like, late 60s, early 70s. And while that's happening, we're like, hey,
hold on, I'm dying.
We hate Russia. We're like, hey, by the way, we really dislike Russia. Like, we really hate Russia, and we don't want them to, you know, have another communist country. I mean, that's what we just kind of that was all we did for Vietnam, was the same thing. Because the reason we did Vietnam was to stop them from being communist, because it was all about numbers games. It was how many countries were communist, how many were the free countries, right? And so we didn't want Afghanistan to fall under communist regime. It meant nothing to us, but we simply hated Russians. So we're like, fuck it. Let's gather a bunch of Afghans, give them Stinger missiles, and train them how to use them really well by the CIA, and have them go kill Russians. And that's called the Mujahideen. That was the group that they created. Now, the Mujahideen, after the Russian-Afghan war, all our CIA guys over there were like, all right, fucking see ya. And we just left.
It was like Cuba. All over again.
We left with them with all the Russian equipment, including AKs and all the other go-to stereotypical terrorist weaponry like T-84 tanks. You know, all the Russian gear, you know, RPGs. That's the most, like, Taliban terrorist fucking thing everywhere knows. But people who don't know anything about weapons don't even really recognize that those things are Russian. Like, they're not Afghan-made. Same thing with AKs. They're not the terrorist weapon.
Or
they're
American
Russian.
Made.
Those AKs are older than, like, most people alive today. But, like, the thing is those – we left them with a bunch of equipment, Stingers, all this shit, right? And we also left them with a broken government because Russia pulled out and so did we. And we didn't do – I can't remember exactly if we tried to put somebody in power, but probably not, because either way it didn't work. Whoever they put in power fell. And that's whenever, you know, you had some, or, you know, like all these different groups trying to seize power. And, like, that's where terrorist groups came from. The Mujahideen then formed into the Taliban later on, and that's who they are now. I mean, the leaders of the Taliban right now are ex-Mujahideen, trained by the CIA back in the 60s. So we made the sandwich, as I like to say. Because you ever go to Subway and you're like, damn, Subway fucking sucks. You made the sandwich. Why do you hate how it tastes? You made the sandwich. You asked for you asked for the spinach, the mayonnaise, and the pickles, and you're wondering why it tastes like shit. Because you made the sandwich. America made the Mujahideen sandwich, and they're taking a bite out of it, and they're like, why the fuck? This is a terrible thing. We hate the Taliban. We hate all this shit. 9/11's bad. We fucked with people, and then it took them decades, but they fucked with us back. And
this started to sound like a rally.
I'll say this, right? There's also the whole thing about Bush did 9/11 and all that, right? And
here comes the airplane.
We can talk about, you know, theories and all that. There is just a lot of support that, although I'm, for one, the guys on the planes who are actually flying these things were all Saudi Arabian, by the way. None of them were Afghans. Like, maybe two. They were Saudi Arabians.
There were a few Egyptians in there.
Yeah, like, they wasn't like they were all pure Afghanistan 100%. They were Taliban people, like, obvious. Like,
yeah, what's the craziest conspiracy theory that you actually believe?
Well, I mean, I guess this one. Like, here's my feelings on this, right, on the 9/11 thing, is that obviously there's some shit they're not telling everybody about, because, one, there's a whole document that describes where those people were from, like, who the people were who actually did this, that was classified for decades. And in this recent 9/11 memorial, the families had a petition made where Biden wasn't allowed to attend unless he made this document public, because no other president had done that before, not even Trump. And so, I can't remember if he actually ended up doing it or not, because, I mean, no one broadcasted anything on, like, the ceremony. I didn't watch it, but that document would basically say that those people are Saudi Arabian, and that we most likely went to war with the wrong people for 20 years.
Yo, of becoming president would be the... No, no, fuck you. Who in the world would want to become president?
I'd like to be president.
Somebody who's power hungry.
The only reason I would ever want to become president is think of all the secrets you get to know.
I'd like now to that be you're president the president for like 2 days. That'd be cool.
Oh yeah, like give it to me for like a week so I can just go through all the files and learn all. Like, do we have aliens somewhere?
So. Because of the fundage from different countries like
Egypt, Harrison's gay.
Fuck you. From like Egypt and literally everywhere but Afghanistan. Not but you know, Afghanistan wasn't really involved. You think like for the past 2 decades we really have been chasing the wrong people?
Let me put it this way. I don't think we were chasing just absolute saints. I mean, everybody, we can't turn a blind eye to the fact that that whole area is fucked.
Oh yeah.
And I mean to a point culturally where they don't see that they're fucked. Like, you can be fucked up in America, and everyone recognizes that. And they're like, okay, that's the bad guy right there. We need to kill him. But over there...
Harrison wipes his ass standing up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're the enemy of the state right now. But, yeah, they don't... The thing is, over there, it's a completely different world. Like, it's literally like the worst night in Chicago, but every single day for decades. And they're just fine with it. I mean, this is the thing that's really fucky. Is that there was a post I read. I think it was on Reddit from some soldiers, like a military, you know, Reddit page.
On Reddit?
Depressed ones. But they're not currently on. These are like old, like, you know, they were. They were enlisted 2003. Like, they were there because of 9/11 as their purpose for joining. And they were talking about how a lot of the fighters in the Taliban today or in ISIS are the same kids that they were given Gatorades to when they first got there. And I think about that, I'm like, the impact we made a difference. Not in the people we helped, but unfortunately in the people we killed.
Yo, do you think America would do that?
Do what?
Like, stage like another 9/11 type thing?
I think we do that. Like, you want to hear some crazy shit?
Like, we're running low on recruits, so we just stage 9/11.
Absolutely.
So everyone will...
That's what. Let me put it this way. They don't plan it. They let it happen. there's even theories going back to that Pearl Harbor was allowed to happen. That they wanted the war, they wanted to get into the war, and so they allowed Pearl Harbor to happen. That was that's a theory that they knew it was going to happen, and they realized that it was okay, and they're like, we're okay with the losses we'll suffer there. Let it happen so that we have a reason to join the fight. Now, obviously, that would paint us as the bad guys trying to look like the good guys. But
see, I don't like people who compare 9/11 to like the Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, it's different times.
That was a completely fair move that they did. Like, that's a military base.
Well, the thing is, it was a military base, but it was also like they didn't care what they weren't only bombing the ships. They bombed hospitals. Yeah, they bombed homes that people who like.
That's why they missed. Or like. The ships.
The thing I blame that to them being shit.
Yeah, that was their like, we're not doing that on purpose. You know, the thing is, right, Pearl Harbor, though, was done by a country, which is why I understand, even though it was petty, I'll give it that, right? It was done by a country at war. But 9/11 was done by individuals that fucking made a Delta Airlines purchase and then got over here and fucked shit up. That's the thing that makes me wonder how in the... One, Pearl Harbor happened, like, what, 80 years before that? Or no, 60 years before that? And somehow, over those years, we never thought, maybe we should recognize that planes are, like, dangerous. Right? Like, no one...
We never once...
And the thing is, this is before air marshals, by the way. 9/11 was before a lot of shit. Like, air marshals, and allegedly even... Well, by the way, this is some crazy shit, too. There was an interview...
Hey, you think we should fix our air force? Nah, they're coming by the sea. Keep making ships.
Hold on. I'll stop the recording real quick because
he's over at my house when y'all came, Emilio, and he's wanting to go to the range.
Oh, nice. Continue the shit. What are we talking about?
Oh, 9/11.
Yeah.
So, right.
How did I know that we were going to end up on 9/11?
I knew that it was going to get political when I was on the podcast. I like this.
Well, as soon as I heard Michael was coming, I'm like, this is going to be a political conversation.
Jesus, Mike, you got some really interesting stuff. I didn't know you like wrote essays about this stuff.
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic because my actual end of year thesis for that class was that the comparison between the Vietnam War and the Russian-Afghan War, and that the U.S. and Russia played the same role but on different sides. So for Vietnam, the North Vietnamese were using AKs and supplied Russian weaponry that they got from China, which China got from Russia. So put it this way, Russia was giving stuff to the North Vietnamese to conquer South Vietnam in order to make another communist bloc country. We didn't like that, so we stepped in to protect them. Russia was trying to get in, and they trained a group of people to stop us from getting a democratic country at the same time. So remember that. Russia was helping a group kill Americans. Main point. Russia invades Afghanistan to get a communist bloc country. America trains a group to kill Russians. Same thing, just different countries. This is the thing with the Cold War era, is that we would do a lot of shit, but we'd have somebody else do it. We wanted to kill Russians, but we had Afghans do it. They wanted to kill us, but they had North Vietnamese do it. Russia and America have been the leading countries for everything. Every conflict they're involved in, way or another.
My brain is so fucked with this.
Jesus, yeah.
My brain
is. Now, bad. I want you to know something else, which is that this is going to get real dark, because I'm going to discuss some 9/11 shit that's real fucked up. So, one, there's an interview. So, you know Flight 93, right? The flight that was heading for the Capitol building that crashed in Pennsylvania.
I'm aware. Let's roll, bitches.
Yeah, hero, that guy. But
the fact that he didn't have bitches in is like one of the biggest mistakes.
Yeah.
Let's roll.
Biggest mistake is none of them watching a YouTube how to fly a plane tutorial.
Bad. All right, we're on the plane. Oh, how do we fly this
thing? Not gonna lie.
They're like, we did it, guys. Wait.
There's two.
But seats. No, actually, the way that all went down is that they didn't even get in the cockpit. This is the thing that a lot of people know. They never even got the chance to fly the plane because the terrorists on board decided we'll just ram it into the ground and kill these people. They didn't even get a chance to get up there and stop the plane from crashing. The terrorists were the ones that did that. But
terrorists are fucking idiots. What? You don't try to hit anything.
Well, they were going for the Capitol, but what they started to do was that it's really messed up because the flight data is out there from them tracking it at the towers. Not the towers, but at a flight tower. They were noticing that the plane was bobbing like this. because the terrorist pilots were trying to dislodge people from their seats because they were fighting back in the back. Because they had a terrorist back there with a knife or whatever. So everybody got up and started beating the shit out of that guy. And so they're like, y'all need to stop fighting, so we're going to start flopping the plane around. And then they started banging on the door to get in, so they just crashed into the ground. But while that flight pattern was happening, that's when the Air Force was called in. Because this was also happening while the towers were falling. Like, while these were all happening simultaneously, which is another part that's really weird, right? Like, all at the exact same time, within hours of each other, all these things are happening. And
yo, like, gotta give it to them, though. In terms of, like, execution-wise, they nailed it.
Which is why I don't think, this is why part of me says I don't think they planned it. Because how do you go from goat fucker with a fucking Tokarev that's 60 years old and fucking pineapple grenades from the 40s, you know? Yeah, how do you go from using that shit to fucking, I know how to fly a 747 and I know exactly what U.S. landmark will have the most people in it. And I know how to get over there, not be found out that I'm a terrorist for presumably what had to have been at least a week.
Yo, imagine they were dumbasses and hit it on a Sunday.
No one's in work.
When everything was closed.
Man. So here's the thing, right? Is Flight 93, there is fighter jets called onto that plane because they're like, this is after the towers were hit.
Well, the original story was like a prop plane hit it.
Well, no. Well, yeah, that was the thing. But, like, so after the towers were hit already, everyone's on high alert now. They know what's going on. They know planes are about to attack places. 9/11 was on. And the Pentagon hadn't been hit yet, I don't think. But the Flight 93 was in the air. And so they were trying to make contact with the pilots. They couldn't because they're dead. And they noticed the plane moving erratically. So they're like, we're going to call the Air Force to come and figure out what's going on. And the Air Force flew in. There was two F-16s that were behind the plane. And by behind, I mean like 100 miles behind it, 100 miles, which seems like a lot. But when you're in a plane, that's like a minute away because you're going 1,000 miles an hour. You're really close. Now, they're following as close as they can while being safe. And I saw an interview with the pilots who were there, allegedly, and they were saying, yeah, we didn't have time to armor up our armaments on our jet, so our plane was just going to ram into them. Like, that's some heroic shit, but even before 9/11, we had fighter jets at the ready to deploy, but we didn't have weapons on them. That seems like you're just trying to hype up your fucking hero status, you know? Because these pilots were like, yeah, our plan was going to be, if it came to it, we would have to ram into Flight 93 to take it down so it didn't hit the Capitol. I'm like,
yeah, it's amazing how, like, unprepared we were.
So, what was their plan? They're just going to nudge it off course?
Well, their plan... No, well, here's the thing. I guarantee you, if they were actually... If the jets were actually deployed to follow that plane, or follow Flight 93, they would have had armaments to take it down. That's the whole point of why they're there. But in this interview I saw, it was like a Vice interview or somewhere. The pilots were there, and they're like, yeah, we didn't have time to put missiles on our planes, so our plan was just going to be, we're going to ram it. I'm like, y'all are trying to be, like, extra hard heroes right now in this interview because, one, they wouldn't be fueled up if they didn't have shit on them.
Like, have you ever seen...
Like, you wouldn't fuel up a fighter jet with expensive-ass fuel and have it sit there not armed to do anything, even before 9/11. I mean, there was veterans in the comments on that video talking about, on our bases, we had armed fighter jets. And also, F-16 has a machine gun on it. Anyway, that's a whole thing, but the main portion of it is the whole joke where it's like jet fuel doesn't burn or, you know, melt steel beams, right? Which it doesn't. You need tannerite, or not tannerite, thermite. Tannerite's the explosive. Thermite's a more conductive heat. There's actually a great video on YouTube by this one guy where he gets a steel beam that's the exact parameters of the ones used on the tower. And the thing is with jet fuel, right, or just any fuel in general, what happens, let's say you get, like, lighter fluid on your hand, you light it on fire? It just burns the fuel. The fuel burns, not your hand might get warm, but your hand doesn't just combust and start melting, because by the time that would happen, all that fuel has already been burnt off. So if I pour, you know, lighter fluid on the floor and light it on fire, like Germex, you know where people put Germex on their desk and they burn it? The whole desk doesn't catch on fire. The Germex burns away and the alcohol is gone. The fuel is the same thing. Fuel will burn, and but not to the point where the structural integrity of an entire building collapses like that. Now, another thing is, how does the building collapse like that if the hit was at the top?
So, here, man. So, there's like, yeah, there are theories that the architects fucked up on the World Trade Center. Like, it was always unstable. And somehow these funders of 9/11 knew that was going to happen. Because it's not the first time New York City has messed up their architecture. It was one building. Imagine a square. And instead of the pillars being on the corners, they did it in the center of each line on the square. So if the winds would have moved at 70 miles an hour, the building would have fallen over. And it's still there. They just put another support beam on it. And it's happened a lot. So there is a theory where, like, the beams on the World Trade Center were just completely screwed from the start.
Well, that's another thing. So people who were actually, like, who survived 9/11, who were in the towers, but they were able to escape because they were on the lower floors, they said, like, about, I think it was like 4 days or like a week before, there was some work being done on the building. And what they were doing was they were working on the structure. And the beams and these I-beams that they have these cutouts in them, which are about like, the beams themselves are about like a foot and a half wide or like 2 feet wide. They're these huge, thick beams. And they're I-beams though. Like they're a really thick I-beam, but they're still that. And there's a cutout in the center. They're hollow, which is weird, right?
Yeah.
But there is from someone who was like seeing these people working on the building, there was these cutouts made in the beams where something could be placed inside of it. And that's what some people have theorized to be, where they put a thermite explosive on the inside of these beams and had it attached there and then drywalled it up and left. And then they have them ready to go off whenever the plane gets hit, and they wait like an hour to get people's emotions up and press the button and melt the building down.
Oh, damn.
Because also, if you ever watch the footage, that is like a perfect demolition.
Yeah.
That is like...
Yeah, the building doesn't fall over. It doesn't maintain structure.
It's about as perfect as you can get having a plane fucking run into it. And there's also theories like, oh, well, a plane weighs a fuck ton. Yeah, it does, but buildings are built to hold fuck ton.
It's like running an empty chip.
You know, every floor has a maximum capacity, assuming an average person's weight.
The plane didn't go through the building.
Well, I mean...
And the thing is, the world... People don't understand how fucking huge the World Trade Centers are as a building.
They were huge.
Like...
Massive.
Like, the 747 has a wingspan, I think, of like 190 feet. Or like... No, way more. It's like 300 feet as a wingspan. It's like... It's fucking huge. It's a huge-ass plane.
Like, it only took up maybe half the building.
Yeah. Have you seen the Pentagon photos? Let me show you this. Hold on. So, if you take the wingspan of a 747, it doesn't fit in the hole that the Pentagon had in it.
I didn't even know, like, the Pentagon... I didn't even know where the Pentagon was before.
Oh, yeah.
Or about 9/11.
Yeah.
I almost Virginia. Said before 9/11, but I was born. You know, you know what's wrong?
I thought it was down the street from the World Trade Center for, like, forever.
Yeah.
I thought it was in New York.
What? I was born 10 months after 9/11.
Really?
So if we're doing the math here, 9/11 happens. A month later, my dad's like, hey, let's hit. As we grieve today.
Jesus Christ, Bevan. Man, but that's crazy. I've never heard that theory.
Yeah, let me show you this real quick. If I can find the actual picture. Because there's a really good picture that illustrates it, where they have a 3D model of the plane in the hole that was in the Pentagon.
Well, that was a great conversation. We want to talk about school shootings next?
Oh, my God. Man, Cypress Creek, the movie, man. What the hell? I hate Cypress Creek so much. I hate it so much.
Remember that shooting threat we had?
Yeah, freshman year. It was a shoot. Oh, me and Marco covered that topic on episode 5. This last episode talked about that. How everyone was retarded in the.
Someone popped a chip bag.
Oh my God! Someone popped a chip bag in school right after we had like a school shooter threat, and everyone ran. Literally, everyone got up and ran.
Bro, oh my God. My sixth period class had 4 people in it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was like no one there. It was stupid. But
my dad calls My dad called me. He goes, "Oh, you're fine. Stay there." I was like, well, "What do you mean?"
Yeah. My mom called me. She's like, "You want me to pick you up?" And I'm like, "No." She's like, "Okay."
Yeah. Well, that was a crazy day. I got picked up. I didn't mind. I wanted to go home.
Yeah, I wanted to go home.
They were so shit about that too. They everyone was crowded at the front, and
yeah, it looked like the border.
Well, no, let me put it this way. This is gonna sound.
Teachers were like, "No, guys, calm down." They were like, "Go, go, go."
You want to sound you want, but then whenever we got to the door, they had it locked, and they had to make sure like everyone had their name and that their parent was there. Like, this is gonna sound fucked up, but that is what we call in the industry a target-rich environment.
Fish in a barrel.
Yes, for lack of a better term. If you have a bunch of things,
that's what's called in the streets as a gold mine.
All a kid, and this is the thing. This is the thing about like metal detectors.
Double kill.
Why they think metal detectors?
Max ammo.
Assist.
Like, how do you think a metal detector is going to work at the door? Like, you know, Columbine started outside the building, right? Like, they didn't just walk in, hide it in their backpack, and middle of the day start shooting. They started outside and killed somebody at the door. People, they don't give a fuck. They're already breaking the law. They're not going to try to sneak their way in there like a stealth mission.
I say this all the time. People get mad at me for it. Like, Columbine was one of the biggest failures ever. Like, first of all, they had bombs in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
On the pillars. They weren't even supposed to go into the building. The idea was that the bombs exploded and the library crashed on top of the cafeteria, killing hundreds. But their bombs fucking failed. So what they had to do instead.
Funds.
So what they had Jesus. To do instead was actually go inside. And like, they didn't even get 20. Like,
it was like, I think the 14 or something.
It was like
this morning at Sandy Hook Elementary.
This sounds bad. But if you gave me a shotgun.
All right. Go in there. Choose your words carefully, Bevan.
Careful, Bevan. This is on the internet. It's going to be on there forever. Be careful. You said some pretty sketchy things earlier.
Look, I'm just saying that if you gave me a shotgun and gave me the mission, get as many as you can. Like, be honest. How many you think you're getting?
A shotgun with a shotgun? Not very many. Well, it depends on what it is. If it's a 12-gauge, you're going to get, like, 4 people. You got slugs in. You'll shoot a lot, but you're not going to kill.
4?
Well, and the thing is, it's the people who are the ones doing this aren't the ones that are trained with firearms. They're the fucking mentally unstable, borderline retarded folk who got their daddy's gun and going to do it.
To even do that, you have to be so far gone mentally.
And there's also a whole theory about how the CIA grooms kids into becoming school shooters online to push gun control agenda, but that's a whole nother can of worms.
It's not, dude.
Dude, I need to have you on here more. Oh my god, that's so good. This is really good content.
Speaking of it, it's like if I were more antisocial than I am, or any antisocial than I am, and I was like creepy, kind of a little sexy little man over here. If I were a creep, right, I'd probably be the most like school shootery type of kid, because that's been. Fourth grade,
You should have your own podcast.
Honestly, dude, you should download Anchor.
There's so many like conspiracy theory minded people that would follow you.
Oh yeah.
Well, fourth grade, I drew a gun on the back of my homework, and my teacher called my mom and had a whole meeting about it, thinking I'm a future school shooter. Imagine, fucking, another elementary schooler shot up. Was it like a parent who walked in?
Was
the fucking fourth grader.
Have you seen that one kid? We had a Pop-Tart, and at lunch he chewed it into the shape of a gun.
Yeah, and got in trouble.
He got suspended.
Oh my god,
dude! Ridiculous. Third grader chewed. He was in third grade.
Oh my god, that's so stupid, man. Schools, the Board of Education is the most retarded association union in America. It is.
And they asked him. They were asking him like, "What were you doing?" He's like, "I was trying to bite into a thumbs up."
Let me tell you right now. This is the thing, right? Like, while I was in school, I didn't give a fuck. I posted on my Instagram my guns whenever I would get them, because, you know, how it is.
I would see those.
Yeah, and my friends being fucking...
I would text Harrison saying, he's going off the rails.
My fucking friend being a head-ass Amelia, who I'm about to go shooting with, was the one who commented on one of my posts, like, okay, we're still friends, right, Michael? I'm like, I had to put a laughing emoji. I can't put anything else, otherwise I'm a fucking spaz.
Yo, I hope you're cool enough to, like, send me a text, like, hey, don't come today, you know, if you ever decide to make a decision.
I graduated. I'm done. Now, I'm done with that life. I missed the objective. The side quest is gone. But
like, just send me a text, like, hey, if you ever, like, shoot up a concert, like, make sure I'm not going to the fucking concert.
I just can't, like, obviously I'm not crazy, so I can't comprehend crazy.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
But obviously. I just can't comprehend why someone would do that. Like, what do you gain?
Hi. They should be hanging out in
Harrison's mom is here.
You're going to hear some of my sick beat.
One of
now I want to our sponsor, NordVPN.
Now for our sponsor, Manscaped. Do you have hairy balls? Not anymore with Manscaped.
Now for our sponsor, Raid Shadow Legends. I want a woman who can be absolutely beat the shit out of me.
Do you need to buy tickets? Well, go to SeatGeek and use my code 15% or more.
Do you know what... Hey, Bevan, do you know what honey is? Do you know what honey is, my brother?
No, tell me about it.
Honey is a great opportunity for an individual to get savings where it matters.
How does it work?
It's great.
Now we can close this.
We're doing our sponsors.
Yeah.
Sponsors. You know, if I reach 50 average listeners, I get sponsors.
Really?
Just yeah. Just pick any, like, common sponsor.
I'll probably do, like, A&Mchicks.com are sponsored.
You could have said anything. That was, like, that was literally a moment.
Like, I don't know.
You know what that was?
SeatGeek and Honey.
You know what that was? That was literally, like, the whole, like, Infinite Chimp typewriter fucking analogy right there, and you pulled out the weirdest verbatim fucking sentence I've ever heard. You heard that theory?
It's like saying pick a color and you went,
yeah, I have heard
the
that
chimp theory. Typewriter. Yeah.
That's like saying pick a color and you went, magenta.
Nah, that's some weirdo shit like saying teal. Like, anybody who ever turquoise. Says teal, they're that sucks because actually, like, this girl I like at my college said teal, but it's whatever. But anyone who ever considers teal a color. Or, like, they say it in real life. Like, teal's a video game color. That's a color that's on the armor color you make for your little character. Like, teal. Like, yeah, okay.
When my older brother, he came home with his girlfriend for the first time. And my dad, he asked her, so he's like, so what's your favorite, like, color combination? You know what her answer was? She goes, brown and turquoise. And we all just looked at her like, the fuck?
I like how much that can tell about a person. Because, like, you know what's funny?
First of all, brown, top three shittiest color, like, ever, right?
Same thing with...
Number one's black.
Yeah. But, you know, you just reminded me, actually, of a whole video. There's a video on the internet, which I forget who it's by for the life of me, but it was talked about how brown isn't a color.
Really?
It's actually orange. It's just a really deep shade of orange. Because think of it this way,
man,
you know.
Up. Don't ruin that color.
You know what would you say magenta is? It's like a purple pink, right?
Yeah.
But you call it magenta. Magenta isn't its own thing. It's just a pink.
Yeah,
brown.
If I had
brown,
a
it's just an
box
orange.
And someone said, "Give me magenta," like, I'd come back with like.
That's why, like, really, like, that's why, like, you know, the Rubik's Cube, like, mind trick where they're like, it's in a dark room, but that's actually orange, not brown. Rubik's Cube. You know what I'm talking about?
I hate those people who try to tell me that black and white is a shade. Like, yes, I know it's a shade,
but I mean,
shut up.
They're okay, right, Bevan.
Yeah, they're right, Bevan.
They're right.
I know they're right, but shut the fuck up.
But, I mean...
Because, like, really you're, like, saying, colors. Like, oh, my favorite color is black. Well, actually, black is...
Or you could be, like, a praying mantis and see, like, 15 different colors all at once and be like, wah! You know, see, like, all the spectrum that we can't see.
Or a mantis shrimp.
Trying to imagine different color spectrums. Like, that's what I think
that's
what Joe Rogan's like been talking
like
about for
colors.
Years. Joe Rogan's right. Been on that shit, DMT. Yeah. He's seen the fucking world open up. But,
you know, when we were talking earlier about the Earth's rotation, I remembered a Joe Rogan stand-up where he was like, I was on a boat off the coast of Florida, getting high, talking to dolphins, and I was trying to figure out which way the Earth was rotating.
the dolphins tell him.
Yo, I didn't realize question. How, like, good Joe Rogan's stand-up yeah. was.
Man, it's so good. It's so good. It's the shit he did on Netflix was pretty decent, but like the good shit you'll find on YouTube.
Yeah. What was the name of his Netflix special?
Was it not just the Joe Rogan Experience?
No, that's his podcast.
Yeah, I know, but I was like, is he... That's a good name. Like, you can't, you got to name all your things that.
Yo, have you heard his White House break-in story?
I love that story. That was the...
That's my favorite
Yo, one. I listen to that, like, once a week.
Dude, oh, my God. He's still running across the lawn.
This is the last step of my life. No, this is...
There's a girl guarding the door.
I'm in.
Why did I leave the AK?
She gets in the, he gets in the door. It's unlocked.
There's a maid inside. I slept.
He was tackled. Wasn't by he like an he was a officer?
He was able to run around for 20 minutes.
And he took a knife. You know the probability that guy had to shoot Obama just shooting around the walls.
He had 20,000 rounds. Luckily, the White House left that there. Took a knife. Oh,
man! Luckily, the White House is so big though that Obama probably didn't even know that happened if he was there.
No, he probably learned about it.
No, he wasn't even there. He was somewhere else.
Oh yeah. This
is a big topic. We're talking about a big building, and like made me think of money, and that made me think of this. So Elon Musk, right? His net worth.
From a stand-up comedy.
This is what podcasts are about.
So Elon Musk is gay.
Well, he had stand-up comedy. He was on SNL, and it was absolute shit.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Elon Musk was on SNL.
Yeah, he was Wario.
Did you see that?
Oh, dude. It was so bad.
It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Like,
yeah.
Mario from Mario?
Yeah, he really put the ass in Asperger's that night. That was some weirdo shit.
So he's like the most dull human being talking ever. Picture him trying to do comedy bits. Like,
I would rather watch a fucking snail dry up in the sun than listen to that shit. Listen to it.
Yeah, as a kid, you ever throw salt on a snail?
No.
On a slug.
Oh, slug, that's right.
Slug.
They die instantly. It's crazy.
Well, the thing is, we would too if we had the same proportional amount of salt, because if we had the like proportional, if we didn't have the type of skin we do, we'd get the moisture sucked out of us immediately, because that's what salt does. It removes their moisture. You basically dehydrated a motherfucker. That's what you did to that poor slug. You dehydrated him.
I didn't do that.
You freeze-dried that fucking snail.
I didn't murder a slug.
All bro. Right.
You ever kill small animals as a kid?
Yo! Nah. Oh, bro. I gotta get this out there. I gotta get this out there, because it's going to blow your fucking minds. So Elon Musk's net worth is $190 billion, right?
Yeah, he's the richest man.
Yeah, so that sounds like a lot of money, but like it's a lot of money, right? And like I didn't even know that this is a fact that really fucked with me. So like, how much would you say for an average American, not multi-billionaire person, is a really really good yearly salary?
Like on average?
Yeah, like.
Like what do you mean really good?
Like you know, like $100,000 a year. That's like a good engineering salary.
But to me, that's like
dream salary. Or not dream salary, but like that's
to
like
to me like $250,000 a year is
a,
like
achievable good.
Is like amazing,
right? Yeah. Now like $400,000, god damn, that's fucking a lot of money, right?
That's crazy.
$1 million a year, that's a shitload of money, right? Yeah. If you let's say you made $1 million a year, you know how long it would take you to get $190 billion?
It'd take me forever.
You know how long
it'd
it would take you?
It'd
take you 120,000 fucking years. That's how long it would take you.
I think about this all the time. I was like, bro, these people have $100-something billion. Do you know the war crimes I would do for $1 billion?
Bro, there's a joke where it's like, we spent $89 trillion on the war on terror. Motherfucker, if you gave me that money, I could have the Taliban gone in a week. Give me a week tops. I just need that. Give me that $89 trillion. I'll be fucking down there and going Rambo on that shit. Yeah. Doesn't even matter.
Oh, $1 trillion?
Or so much fucking money. So much fucking money. Let me put it this way. Every U.S. soldier costs around $16,000. Every soldier costs around $16,000 to equip.
Dude, spending $1 trillion is like almost impossible.
Yeah. Well, if you spend...
Oh, it's very possible.
Well, that's the thing. You could...
In a lifetime?
Hypothetically...
U.S. debt right now is $31 trillion.
Well, hypothetically...
But think how long it took us to get $31 trillion.
Elon Musk.
Debt.
Elon Musk could spend $1 million every year, which you know that's more than people will make in sometimes in their life.
He could spend $1 million a day.
Yeah. Well, there's the whole analogy about how Bill Gates, if he were to like drop a 20 on the ground, or like if he were to drop $10,000 on the ground, it would cost him more money to turn around and pick it up than to keep walking, because he makes. Well, that's the thing. So Elon Musk, with that math I did, he makes $6,000 a second. So every second he makes $6,000. That's more money than I have.
And like, think about this. We've been doing this for, what, an hour and a half? This man, in that time, I'd have to do the math, but like, that's more money than I'll ever make.
60 times 60 times 6,000.
Dude, Mike, you're a fucking intellectual, man. Fuck, I need to fucking Jesus Christ. Cool. I have to have you on here more. You make your own podcast.
360 times 6,000.
21.6 million dollars.
Yeah. So in an hour, he makes $21 million. So, in case you feel pathetic, he – and this is the thing. He was bullied as a kid. This is bullshit. He grew up in South Africa, got bullied, and made PayPal, and then became the richest man on earth.
How do you just make PayPal?
Fucking wasted all
the money. I wish I grew up in the 80s. Let me tell you why. Because that was the age of innovation. Because
he's bored.
Here's why. Because everyone who's going to make the good shit is already in a position where they can do it. Mm-hmm. Like, unless you really, like, crack your ass off and take advantage of things. Like, that's why one of the companies I want to start. I'm trying to start a company. So I might let you all in on the ground up, right?
You gotta be like,
recently, there's been a bill that was passed in Texas where suppressors. This is goes back to farms.
Speaking of that, hold on. Have you seen Joe Rogan's tiger stand up about tigers in Texas?
I don't think so.
Oh, dude, you gotta watch it.
I'll watch it.
Basically, I'm gonna say this, and then I have to go, unfortunately. But basically, right?
I can see your nipples through your shirt. Thank you. Making me horny. Very
good. Nice. Makes me wonder too that you can look at them. Anyway, and that was such a weird blip in time. How we suddenly like teleported to like where we are now, and all the audio before this was suddenly not there. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird, Bevan? How that just kind of happened?
Crazy late.
How we just kind of snapped to where we are.
That happens every time Juan talks.
Oh God.
Yo,
what's the worst thing Juan has ever said?
Oh Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you.
Like,
I went on vacation with Juan once. Every hour, this man says something that if I said, like, in front of people, like, I'd be beat up immediately.
Dude, Juan is, he's an interesting person.
Love Juan, but he's
man, Juan's, I love the guy so much, man. He's so much
he's
fun.
He's a liability,
but...
though.
Yeah. You know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna let you go, Mike.
Yeah.
Man, thanks for coming, dude.
Yeah, thank you. It's been real joy. It's been real nice, yeah.
Yo, you should definitely start your own podcast, man.
Just one last thing.
You know, it's been really nice hanging with y'all and speaking my mind, speaking about all the crazy things within my cerebral cortex and getting all my thoughts out there into the world. But, yeah, I'm pretty sick. Do you want me to say anything, like, for the podcast or?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Say goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Lone Star Podcast. If you would like to suck Harrison's fat Jewish wiener, please hit us up in the DMs.
Hey. Yo, that's right. Bitch. Yo, shit.
And now, goodbye.
Bye, Papa Mike. And thanks for coming, dude.
Yeah, it's been real swell. Want anything before you leave? Any cookie cake?
He's so talented. He's amazing.
I know. Jesus Christ. Look at this man.
But I would like... I feel like a baby. I need to be walked out because your house is loud.
Yeah, sure. Here, let me walk you up.
Make sure I go the right way.
It seems as though Harry has two modes. Racist or very racist.
Yeah.
I found this sweater.